everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm Jace. This is a special episode today. I'm going to be talking with writer-director Michael Matteo Rossi. He's going to talk a little bit about his background, where he comes from. You'll get a sense of his sensibilities. And then we're going to talk specifically about an upcoming project he has in the works. So, Michael, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Jace. It's great to be here.
So you're a writer-director working in films in Hollywood, Southern California. How did that all come about?
Correct. Yeah, I've been doing it 10 years now, and I'm one of those rare LA born and raised people. So I always kind of knew that I wanted to be in film in some capacity, and I went down to San Diego for college, and you know, pretty much right after I graduated, headed back to LA, and you know, continued on with doing films, doing short films, starting with them, and working my way up to features and series. So it's been pretty exciting so far.
So you said you kind of always knew you wanted to do that. Were you fascinated by films, like going to the movies and things as a youngster, or?
Yeah, you know, and my parents, my dad specifically would show me a lot of classic films, a lot of even, you know, TV shows, Twilight Zones, all of that. And that pretty much kind of influenced me to tell stories and to tell stories in the medium of film. And, you know, all of that kind of just made me more motivated to do that. So, yeah, I knew very early on that this was a field that I wanted to get into, you know.
Yeah, I'm always fascinated by creative types that decide to go in that direction, in the direction of film. It's such a huge undertaking.
So, yes.
Yes. How old were you when you started realizing the technical? Because I'm sure, you know, probably much like myself, you know, a love of stories and watching, you know, fantasy and this fiction stuff on big screen is just fascinating as kids, you know, seeing these incredible stories. But at some point you realize you're fascinated also by some of these great films because of the technical aspects of the filmmaking process, right? What age did you start realizing that, wow, look at this cool stuff they can do with the lighting or those kind of things?
Well, it's interesting. I think that roughly my story when it comes to film related is when I was actually in my early teens, I did acting in theater and all of that. Actually, I did that a bit, and then around 15 or 16 I started to take a lot of creative writing classes, even in high school and everything. And it wasn't until I was in college that I really got into the technical aspect in terms of directing, because I was taking a bunch of film classes that taught me about sound, about lighting, about different cameras, all of that. So I'd say probably about 18 I got into the technical aesthetics of film, you know, right around then, beginning of college for me.
And so from then on, just single-minded driven, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, and you know, my family, my parents, they aren't in the business. So I was given no handouts when it comes to what I do. So it was pretty much just starting from scratch, just networking, building a team. And I knew that I loved it so much. Made my first short film at 19, got into a couple festivals, and I just knew right then that that I was doing something that I definitely wanted to keep doing for the rest of my life.
Cool. All right. Well, listeners, I'm going to play a little clip from Michael's project that he's working on right now, and then he's going to tell us all about it. This is just a little bit of a soundbite from the trailer, which can be found on YouTube.
They buried me, took away everything I ever cared for, gutted me, and hollowed me out. There's only one problem for them, though. They didn't bury me deep enough.
Oh, so moody, so good. So, Michael, tell us about the project you're currently working on.
It's called Vengeance. It's kind of a dark superhero kind of crime drama in the same vein as you know, Punisher a little bit, even a little, you know, I'd compare it probably most to Punisher in terms of kind of popular superheroes. But the thing is that even though it's superhero, supernatural, it's kind of rooted in dark, gritty reality. You know, it's not as fantastical as, you know, some of the other ones. So I think that that's something that a lot of people can relate to as well. But yeah, I mean, we have the pilot script written. We kind of know where we're going with the whole arc of the story. But, you know, it dropped just yesterday, and it already has over 66,000 views on YouTube, and, you know, people, over 2,000 comments alone on it. And, you know, it's funny because people are reacting to this trailer as well, like other YouTubers. So the engagement has been extremely positive. So that's always uplifting for me as well, you know?
Yeah, and listeners, you'll be able to look in the show notes. I'll put a link to the trailer so you can go and check it out yourself. So perfect. You kind of went a different direction with choosing a star for this, and that's with Tyrone Magnus, who lot of YouTube watchers will know. He's pretty popular with his channel and everything. How did that whole thing come about?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty interesting. I've known Tyrone for almost a year now, and we had been kind of thrown out ideas about collaborating for quite some time. He had seen a couple of my films, including a feature, and he liked my style. And, you know, it really started in a kind of organically great way, because I had written a little trailer, a little one-page trailer for him, just, you know, as a litmus test, and he went crazy over it. He absolutely loved it, and that really motivated me to be like, you know what, this is something that we got to do. So I brought my team together, and we were just like, you know what, let's shoot it. And that really spawned into writing the pilot, and now us realistically pitching it to networks and trying to make it happen, you know?
So can you give us a little synopsis of what the story is all about?
Yeah, I'll give you a kind of quick synopsis, and the viewers can also see kind of this synopsis with on the trailer. But Tyrone plays a family man, blue collar guy, good guy, named Derek Chambers, and money is tight. He wants to provide for his family, but he gets caught up being a runner for what he finds out to be a kind of underground crime organization. And when he realizes that it has to do with human trafficking, that's when, you know, his moral compass kicks in and realizes that that isn't something that he wants to do. So he almost purposely botches a job, and that obviously pisses off the bad guys, and they basically beat the ever-loving crap out of him and leave him for dead. But he comes resurrected. I don't want to spoil too much, but he comes resurrected as a kind of newfound entity, and he's after some hardcore revenge. So it's pretty much what happens to those people afterwards.
And it sounds really, really good. What I'm struck by, and you know, mm-hmm. longtime listeners of the podcast will know that I always love it when stories are relatable, when you can find a way to relate yourself to the characters, and you know, it helps you care about them, helps you, you know, get more in depth in the story. And I think that, you know, struggling to either to make ends meet or with family and things like that is something that we can all relate to at times. And so it seems, mm-hmm. you know, very realistic, especially in this day and age, that, you know, to have somebody who's, you know, kind of struggling, maybe feels a little overwhelmed by life, and, you know, starts down a path maybe that they is questionable, let's say.
Yeah. And you know, the interesting thing is that just with my writing in general, I like writing about characters that aren't just black or white, that aren't just all good or all bad, because the most interesting characters to me are ones that are struck with that conflict, with their conflict of self and everything. So, you know, Derek Chambers, this character that Tyrone's playing, is struggling with the idea of he needs to provide for his family, but how much is he going to compromise in terms of, you know, the amount of, you know, how much of his own morality is he willing to compromise to get the money and the resources to provide for his family. So it's that inner struggle right there, you know?
Yeah. And it's, you know, life is not black and white. So
correct.
You know, good fiction is going to have characters that aren't. But another thing you said that struck me was, so he when he realizes that these things are asking him to do are beyond what he feels you know, it crosses the line for him, let's put it that way. And so even before he has, you know, before he's resurrected, before he has any power or desire for revenge, in a way, he's already making a stand. He's already showing a heroic side by saying, right, you know, no, you know, I'm willing to do this, but no farther. And now it's too much.
And he makes the conscious effort to go and really and make the decision against it. So you're right, exactly right. He's making the conscious choice. And I think that kind of foreshadows what's yet to come when he does essentially become supernatural, a superhero. So, yeah, very, very good. That's kind of what I was going for as well.
And the other thing I was noticing in the trailer was that, and hearing you talk about it as well, you know, kind of reflects, as we were saying, the world outside your window, in as much as it's relatable, it's not black and white. But with the other cast, too, it's not. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think that storytellers, you know, diversity is such a buzzword these days. And right, I think when you swing too far and it's diversity for diversity's sake, I think, you know, the story can suffer. To me, when I watch something, what I want is for it to reflect the diversity of the world and, you know, different cultures and different ethnicities. But I don't want to be hit over the head with it, because if I notice it, then it pulls me out of the story. So sorry about that, listeners, little Skype issue there. But I was saying diversity. Yes. We don't want to be hit over the head with it, because then it pulls you out of the story. But is it something you're aware of that you want, you know, you want it to be as realistic as possible, to have different ethnicities, have different cultures, have, you know, just people, right?
Correct. And you know, the thing is, because you're right, I mean, in this industry and all of that, the push for diversity, and that's a good thing. But like I said, it wasn't purposeful. I wasn't just doing it for the sake of it. I wasn't trying to do it, oh, on the nose, let me get, you know, an African-American as my lead, you know, just to hit those targets. I did it because, first of all, Tyrone is great for this role, and I want my audience to gauge on acting too. I want my audience to, you know, gauge on things like that, story and everything. I think that it's good, the idea of diversity and getting people from all walks of earth on you know, film and characters and all of that. But like I said, as a filmmaker, the story and acting are key for me, you know?
Yeah, I do find it interesting, just because Luke Cage dropped so recently. Right. And so have you heard, you know, anything about that? Oh, they're trying to make a Luke Cage knockoff, or has it been a challenge?
I think that, first of all, you know, I think that if this TV show gets picked up, people see. I personally, if I'm being very honest, I haven't watched the Luke Cage show yet. I haven't watched it. I've heard great things. People really love it. You know, I've seen some kind of still shots of it. It definitely looks cool. But you know, I mean, people were saying, oh, not knockoff, but oh, you know, he's the next Luke Cage. And if anything, the cool thing is, I've heard a couple people being like, hey, you know, Luke Cage better watch out. You know, this Vengeance show is looking good. So could be some healthy competition. Obviously, we're still, you know, very indie and the little guy on these right. things. But people have been saying that. People have been saying, oh, you know, he should be the new Spawn, or something like that. So no, I think that it actually works for us. So I embrace it. And you know, it's funny, because for 95% of the people that like it, there's always going to be the haters. And you know what? They're still talking about it. So
right.
that's they're still watching it. So for the you know, the small minority of people that either don't like it or just want to crap on it, I'm fine with that. You know, I have thick skin, and you know, it's all good, because we're not doing it for them. We're doing it for the people that like it. And as you can see, when your viewers see it, the trailer is overwhelmingly positive anyways. So that's what I care the most about.
Yeah, I haven't actually watched the Luke Cage either. So, you know, I hope that everybody can judge Vengeance on its own merits.
And on like its own. It's on its own, you know, and, yeah, exactly. and, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just from watching, first of all, reading about it, I was intrigued, you know, enough to reach out to you, so to have you on, and then seeing the trailer, I was just blown away, and it seems, like I said, it starts out, the character's very relatable, to see him go on this journey, you know, it looks great, I hope it gets picked up. How many episodes do you have planned out,
ideally, and this is just kind of through my own knowledge and talking with a couple people, we'd perfect world situation have 13 episodes in the first season, so it'd be 13 episodes. That's what we're looking at, and yeah, I mean, we're really trying to get all of our ducks in one row, and so far, again, just based on it dropping the trailer, people really want to see it. And that's the best news that I can hear.
Cool. Now, we mentioned the star Tyrone having a pretty good following on YouTube, creative guy in his own right. And so you said you started out, you just wrote the pilot. How much collaboration with the rest of the character arc? Did you have input from him? Was it all you? Did you bounce ideas back and forth?
I'm a big fan of obviously hearing other people's input with things. And, you know, he trusted my judgment a lot. He really did. And I think that it was one of those things where, just like with most things, the script is never completely done, even until you're on set. So there are going to be things that we figure out. There are going to be things that we're going to try up until filming. But he gave me a lot of freedom to pretty much craft out this story. And and he trusts my judgment, and I trust his. So he really liked the script too, pilot script, which is always positive for me as well. So yeah, we have a great working relationship when it comes to this.
Cool. So where are you at in terms of the series, like actually having it, you know, filming a pilot? Are you still shopping it around? Do you have any prospects?
We're keeping all options on the table. We have some producers that have some good ties to some networks. So we're gonna do that. But like I said, we're keeping options open to, you know, filming it ourselves if need be. But we're letting the press. Because we've had actually some good articles written about the trailer, so we're kind of just seeing what happens in this week with it, and that'll be able to help us gauge what the next specific step is.
All right, let me ask you this, Michael, and this is one thing I thought of when, you know, I wondered if people were going to compare it to Luke Cage. You know, you have a story like that, a character like that that's been around for so long. It comes with history, which can enrich the story, but at the same time, from a creative perspective, sometimes it can tie your hands a bit. And yeah, especially, you know, being Marvel, who's now owned by Disney, you know, there's so much oversight. Again, you worry about the creative process being stifled. So right, here you have a story that's all yours, idea all yours, world all yours, that you've totally created. So you're probably weighing that as well, right? If you decide to film it yourselves, it's you have no one to answer to, but at the same time, there's less of a safety net. So is that something that you'll consider as well?
Yes. And in all honesty, best case scenario would be, based on the trailer and, you know, the network or whatever reading this script, them to basically pick it up, but also give me some creative freedom to, you know, basically I know what I'm doing, and give me the freedom in terms of basically maintaining the creative integrity of where I see this show going. So that would be the best case scenario. But yes, given the story, the arc, and everything like that, I definitely would need the backing of a good studio. So you're right. There's a lot of give and take, but that would be the best case scenario for me at this point.
Yeah, I would hate to see it, you know, picked up by somebody else, and they say, okay, you know, we're going to take the initial idea, but then it goes
in completely right, in right, completely change it around or all of that. I definitely don't want that. I don't. So it's a lot of give and take with that type of thing. But I really do have high hopes. I see the engagement, and the beautiful thing is Tyrone has such a built-in audience already that I think that gives us significant leverage as well to come to these networks and say, look, you know, we already have this. You already have a bunch of people who want to see it already. So yeah, you know, it's good.
Well, Dodd, don't sell yourself short either, Michael, because some of your past projects have won awards as well. And
thank you.
You didn't necessarily have creative oversight there, right? I mean, those were your ideas, you doing what you
correct
do. So I think that, you know, let's not sell you short and make sure.
Thank you. I definitely believe in my own creative ability and all that. I think that because of the scope of this, that in all honesty, I would need the budget and the backing in terms of that from the studios and everything. It definitely, this type of thing in the pilot cannot be done on an indie level. So that's where a little bit of that is. But I know that I could undertake it for sure. You know?
Now, technically wise, is this the most ambitious project that you've worked on to this point?
100%. Yes. Yes. The trailer alone, and I think that this is something that the average viewer or you know, just the passive audience member might not appreciate, is we had a 40-foot crane, the location that we had, what we were shooting on, the lights, the camera, everything. It really was the most ambitious and most technical kind of undertaking that I had done. So definitely 100%.
Yeah, I think a lot of the average moviegoers don't realize just how much goes into making something for the big screen and having it look good, you know, having those high production values.
Right.
And everything
right
needs to go right. I recently interviewed Andy Park, who's one of the main visual development guys at Marvel Cinematic Studios. And mm-hmm. he had a great quote. He said, every time a movie comes together and it actually works and it's a good movie, he's like, I consider it a little mini movie miracle, because there's so many things that can go wrong at any given point because there's so many moving parts. So when everything comes together, it really is, in a way, a miracle.
Correct. It really is. And you know, it's interesting. And you know, it's funny because some people, they think, oh, this is so easy, or oh, I can do. No, it's not. And I think it's easy for people to just be like, you know, from the comfort of their own home or their computers, like, oh, I could do this with my iPhone or anything like that. No, they can't, trust me. So you know, it's interesting seeing people, a lot of people's responses and all of that. But you know, again, to the 95% of people that have really liked it, there's going to be a lot more. And you know, it's the positive influence and all of that that motivate us. So I think that I speak with Tyrone when I say that, you know?
Okay. So let's say some of our listeners go, they check out the trailer. They really like what they see. What's the best way right now to help you out? Is it spreading the word? Is it getting more people commenting on the video? Is it making sure their friends watch it?
It's pretty much, it's all of that. It's the engagement. It's for the audience to continue to watch it, to view it, to share it, get those views even up. And trust me, the views are great and all of that, but getting all of that, getting press and media to talk about it, getting things like Netflix to take notice and be like, okay, this is something. So all of that helps. The engagement, everything, the sharing, that's what's going to get more noticed. Absolutely.
Cool. And is there a way for our listeners to keep up to date with any news coming out about Vengeance? Should they follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, we're We're all on social media. We're on just on Twitter. It's just Vengeance TV Show, and on Facebook, I think it's Vengeance Official, and we're even on Instagram. And for me, it's my full name, Michael Matteo Rossi. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and I'm pretty much posting all about this, so they can easily find me. I'm actually pretty good at responding to fans and supporters, so feel free to say hello, spread the love, all of that. I definitely like hearing it. So, yeah. And of course, Tyrone Magnus is across the board as well.
Cool. Well, thanks for joining me, Michael. Is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know?
No, thank you again, Jace. This was great. And let's keep our fingers crossed that there'll be a lot more of Vengeance for people to see.
Yeah, that'd be great. And, you know, things move forward. We'd love to have you back on, to let our listeners know how the process is going. You can kind of follow along. And man, I hope it makes it to the small screen. I'd love to see it. I just want that vision that's in your head. Because from what I've seen in the trailer, it looks amazing. So whatever that story is in your head, I want to watch it.
Thank you so much, Jace. And thank you again to the viewers. This was great.
Sure. Thanks for joining me, Michael.
Thank you.
So that was my interview with writer-director Michael Matteo Rossi. Thank him for joining me. If you want to check out the trailer, like I said, there is a link in the show notes. Or you can just go to YouTube, type in Vengeance, and I think it's the second one that pops up. It's only a minute long, but as you heard Michael and I say in the interview, production value is very high. Really hoping that this show gets made because it looks very intriguing. So if this is your first time listening to the Comic Source podcast, I'd like to thank you for joining us. Please visit us at thecomicsourceblog.com for past episodes of the podcast. You can also watch episodes of our YouTube channel there, as well as finding Manny's written blog, a link to my written blog, and of course our sketch gallery, where you can check out all the art we've collected over the years. You can also follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Also do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram. That's the best way to keep up to date when new episodes are released, find our convention coverage, and keep up to date with what's going on with The Comic Source. So I hope you all enjoyed this interview, and I hope everybody goes and checks out the trailer, and we'll talk to you next time.